stati dei conflitti all'interno della band, ha detto questa negatività non fa per me, e quindi ha puntato gli occhi sulla tradizione invece, sull'eredità che gli era stata passata dal padre. E lui, tra i suoi fratelli, è stato l'unico che poi ha preso questa missione su di sé. Angus Taylor, yes.
I have a question for you, Rafa. Can you tell me about the first time you encountered King Shiloh Sound and the changes and transformations? Because you've already talked about your musical journey, but how you made the trud from being a contest-winning band musician to more of a sound system musician.
Yes, Mr. Journalist, I hear you. I see Adrian from the Suriname scene who also made that transition. And they was telling me about this very popular party that was going on in Amsterdam North. And this was a time when Shiloh was keeping sessions in the bunker. That's how they called it. But you have to see it in this perspective, yeah? So I was just starting the journey, and I was just in my Bob Marley phase. So you see, when you just start the journey and you're in your Bob Marley phase, then you go to a Shiloh session. You see, that step now is too big. You understand? That step was too big. The understanding was not there. So when they brought me to my first Shiloh session, I was like, yeah, this is different than Bob, man. I say, let me just draw back and let me do some more research until I reach this type of level of understanding, right? And then reach the overstanding, right? And then I could overstand what Shiloh was doing. You see, because my interpretation is that especially the sound system culture is what keeping the roots and the tradition alive in reggae music. You see? That is my conclusion.
E Angus Taylor ha chiesto a Rafa Pico quando ha incontrato per la prima volta Sound System di Shiloh e quindi quando ha incominciato praticamente a girare con loro. Rafa Pico ha detto che quando ha fatto la transizione da musica tradizionale caraibica a reggae music ha incominciato ovviamente con Bob Marley. Quando era nella sua fase Bob Marley l'hanno portato al Bunker, che è questo posto dove Shiloh faceva le danze, Amsterdam Nord, e quindi Bunker, what time was that, more or less?
Probably about 15 years ago.
15 anni fa.
That was an amazing time. You want me to tell about it?
Please, please tell us about it. Bunker.
The bunker time, it became a legendary session that we did. We ended up squatting a shipyard in Amsterdam North, yeah? Amsterdam used to be the biggest place for ships in the world, Amsterdam and Rotterdam. But the shipyard became disused, so we squatted the place, right? A few of us, and we turned it into our workplace. That's where we built our speaker boxes. That's where we did everything, right? And every Friday night, when we'd been building speaker boxes during the week, we took them into this place underneath the ground. The concrete was this thick, right? Everywhere. So it was the perfect place to play loud sound system. And every Friday we used to play radical. I mean, I'm talking real radical. We used to take it, push sound to the absolute limit so that we could understand sound. You get me? And that was every week for about 3 years we used to do that. So NDSM, it became a very important place for us. It was a place where people wouldn't go, right? Amsterdam people wouldn't go to the shipyard. It was so famous from back in the day as being a workplace where thousands and thousands of people went, and then suddenly it became disused. The north of Amsterdam is also the heavy part of Amsterdam, they say, right?
That is true.
Yeah, people don't really go to the north, so we had to go there. We had to go there and show people, listen. It's a mission, sis. It's not about the place, it's about what you do in that place. So since we moved there, it's become the hot spot of Amsterdam. We've had to leave out of there because it's become gentrified, right? MTV by the building, TNT by another building, and it become the hot spot of Amsterdam. But for us, it was the foundation of King Shiloh Sound. That's where we learned to play sound system. And after that, we just traveled doing that.
Yes. Pages of history. from the King Shiloh book. Quindi stiamo parlando del bunker, il bunker, North Amsterdam, shipyard praticamente dove arrivavano i container, no? Il magazzino dei container, i cargo. Essendo Amsterdam ovviamente uno snodo navale, c'era tutta quanta questa parte nel nord della città dove accumulavano questi container. A un certo punto è rimasta in disuso, hanno smesso di utilizzarla, l'hanno abbandonata. Allora loro hanno occupato degli spazi, alcuni di questi magazzini sono stati occupati e Shiloh si è preso il loro, e durante la settimana dal lunedì al venerdì costruivano le casse, costruivano l'impianto, e il venerdì notte andavano in questo sotterraneo al di sotto del loro magazzino, ok, e suonavano, e lì suonavano tutta quanta la notte. Siccome il cemento era spesso così, potevano spingere il sound al volume massimo senza disturbare ovviamente. Inoltre Amsterdam Nord non ci va nessuno perché è un luogo difficile, fa parte proprio della zona più afflitta anche di Amsterdam, e quindi lì avevano la possibilità proprio di spingere anche il limite musicale proprio per imparare i volumi, per imparare il cablaggio della sound system culture, e quello è diventato praticamente la spina dorsale di tutta quanta la storia di Shiloh. È lì che hanno sviluppato il loro stile, costruito l'impianto, raccolto i dischi, e poi da lì hanno incominciato a viaggiare per il mondo. So this was history. Angus, anything you want to add?
Well, since you've been talking about venturing into unusual territory, this is something that King Shiloh's sound has done ever since. And I just wanted to hear about both of your experiences in East and Southern Africa and the things you've been doing there.
East Africa. Look, today is the Earth Day of His Imperial Majesty. When we started our journey looking into Rastafari, certain things became evident, right? That this journey would lead to Ethiopia. This journey had to lead to Ethiopia because that's where Haile Selassie I comes from, yeah? That's where the Ark of the Covenant is. So it was obvious we had to go to Ethiopia. So, you know, to make the circle complete, what I don't like in life is people who talk but don't do anything, right? So we had to make that our mission, to complete the mission. And we ended up sending wood and speakers and everything to Ethiopia to make a sound system in Addis Ababa. Not a sound system for the third world, but a sound system for the first world, right? Because we see Ethiopia as the first world, not as a third world. So we sent a sound system worthy of Ethiopia to play there. We do a thing now every 3 months called the Addis Dub Club. And it's really become a manifestation of the original idea, you know, and I just give thanks that we've been able to do it. It's a hard struggle. It's not easy to go to East Africa and start something there, you know. There's a lot of talent there. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of good things, you know, but it still demands a big, big effort to get things to a level you want them to be. But I give thanks for the work. It's not just Ethiopia, it's also Kenya. We're also busy in South Africa, doing everything that we can, you know. I feel so bad about Africa, you know, that people took everything away from Africans. It's time now we put things back into Africa, you know, things that we learned here, music-wise, we want to take to Africa and contribute to Africa instead of taking all the time.
Rafa.
Yeah, similar for me. Shiloh has been doing works for years now in Africa. Last year was my first time, and we started in South Africa. And this journey was revealing. Why? Because first we started in South Africa and then moved forward to Ethiopia. And to see the two differences of cultures in the same time was very significant. Because you see in South Africa, the colonial past is very present still, you know? And to see that and then forward to Ethiopia where the culture is intact, that to me, for this track, was the most precious one. Yeah, man.
Give thanks. Allora Angus ha chiesto a Shiloh e a Rafa di parlare dell'Africa, di come appunto la loro missione sia arrivata poi in Africa, East Africa, South Africa. Neil ha detto che sin dall'inizio, proprio che sin dall'inizio del suo percorso con King Shiloh, era chiaro che la destinazione sarebbe stata a un certo punto l'Etiopia, l'Africa, proprio perché lui vuole portare tutto ciò che ha imparato qui, in questa parte del mondo, in Africa, perché l'Africa non è il terzo mondo, ma è il primo mondo. Ecco perché ha incominciato a inviare, a spedire giù il legno per costruire il sound system. Hanno costruito il sound system, hanno formato una scena di giovani etiopi nella cultura del sound system, li hanno proprio educati e vanno regolarmente in Etiopia e in East Africa ogni 3 mesi a fare questo Kingston, Addis Dub Club, now there is Nairobi Dub Club, quindi ci sono diversi dub club adesso in Africa. E Neil Shiloh, con chi viaggia con loro, poi va lì regolarmente per assicurarsi che questo progetto rimanga vivo. E la stessa cosa ce l'ha detta anche Rafa, appunto, che l'intenzione è proprio quella di portare la musica in Africa, da dove tutto quanto è partito e dove la reggae music deve portare poi la luce, lo sforzo e sicuramente tutto quanto l'impegno.
Glory, hallelujah, hallowed be thy name, O Most High God. Glory be to the Most High God, hallowed be thy name. King of kings and Lord of lords, worthy to be praised. I'll ascribe to you dominion, power and grace. Through all the years and years to come, you'll always be the same. It's me again, Jah, as I fall on my knees today. Help me, God, I pray. Oh, all I need can be made. It's me again, Jah, as I fall on my knees today. And you will see Pharisees and backbiters taking up in vanity. But I know you control my destiny, and from you all blessings flow. From yesterday, even today, and tomorrow, it's me again, Jah, as I fall on my knees today. Flesh is weak, but still, oh God, I seek to walk your way, your holy way. I pray my soul you'll keep. Though my enemies encamp at me, I know I will stand forevermore under your banner and for always in your hand. It's me again, Jah, as I fall on my knees today. Help me, God, I pray. Don't wanna be carried away. It's me again, Jah, as I fall on my knees today. Help me, God, I pray. Preserve my soul today. Ah, glory, hallelujah. Bless my soul, oh Jah. O Most High God, say glory be to the Most High God, hallowed be thy name. The King of kings and Lord of lords, worthy to be praised. I'll ascribe to you dominion, power and grace. Through the years and years to come, and for our race, it's me again, Jah. As I fall on my knees today, one and he carried away. It's me again, Jah, as I fall on my knees today.
So I give thanks for the testimonies. So where are we at with the project in Ethiopia, Kenya? Tell us some of the recent happenings during the past years. Addis Dog Club is growing and growing, but now the Kenya aspect has really started to become very, very strong. Kibera, tell us something about it, please, Russ.
It's the mission, brethren. It's the mission. You know, we don't really stop to analyze things. It's things happen, you know. So we go to the biggest ghetto in Africa. We go to Kibera, it's called, in Nairobi, right? It's recognized as the biggest ghetto in Africa. And we go to the Rastafarian center there. And we sit with the brothers and we talk to them. And we say to them, what can we do to help you? You know, we humble people, what can we do to help you? And they say, oh, Rasta, if we can do a session for the people of Kibera, that it's a free session, that anybody can come to the session, that's what we would like to do. If that could be the contribution, then please do that. And so then we do the session in Kibera. You know, we're not just talking about Kenya then, we're talking also about Ethiopia, South Africa. We go to where the people are, you know. We don't like to play in upfront, uptown clubs. We like to go into the ghetto where the people are and play for the people, you know. And it's so gratifying and it's just so amazing, you know, to be able to do that, to see those kind of people, how they're living, and give them some upliftment, even if it's just for a couple of hours, to be able to give them some upliftment and give them something to think about, you know. And that's the mission, bless. You know, we don't watch anything. We're not bigging anything up. We don't have big egos. We just do our work humbly, you know. That's the fun.
Alleluia. Wow, Riftons. Questo è ciò che veramente caratterizza in Shiloh. This is what makes Neil Shiloh and whoever travels with the Shiloh family so peculiar: the humbleness, the genuinity, the authenticity. There is no superstar ego kind of vibe. There is just mission, endeavor, effort, lots of sweat, courage, and, and big muscles. E questo ciò che rende Shiloh, Brother Neil, e tutti quelli che girano con loro così particolari e interessanti. Non c'è l'ego da superstar, non c'è tutta l'hype, ma c'è fiducia, coraggio, c'è ispirazione, c'è tanto sforzo, buttarsi nelle cose e poi tanto impegno per vederle manifestate. E io ho chiesto appunto di parlarmi dell'Etiopia, ma io ho chiesto di parlarmi anche del Kenya, perché Shiloh ha suonato Kibera. Kibera è il ghetto più grande dell'Africa ed è il secondo ghetto più grande del mondo. È uno dei luoghi più difficili di tutto quanto il pianeta Terra. Soltanto a Kibera ci sono più di 3 milioni di persone ed è un ghetto. Cioè voi immaginate un ghetto composto 3 million people in one ghetto. Second largest slum in the world. Huge place, 3 milioni di persone è un ghetto. Immaginate questo. Violenza, disparità, opportunità negate, vite afflitte, sono all'ordine del giorno. Allora Brother Neil è andato ad incontrare la Rastafari community a Kibera e gli ha detto: che cosa possiamo fare per aiutare voi? Noi siamo gente semplice, siamo musicisti. E loro gli hanno detto: perché non organizzate una session gratis per la gente del ghetto? E così questa visione è diventata realtà. E quindi sono andati lì con il sound system e hanno suonato gratis per la gente di Kibera. So how was playing for the Kibera people? You brought the sound, eh? That was
yeah, we worked together with the sound.
Umoja sound.
Called Umoja sound.
Umoja sound, yeah.
Yeah, it's just amazing. But,
it was an afternoon thing, Russ, eh? Or night.
It was an afternoon thing, yeah.
Pomeriggio.
Actually, when it gets to night time, as soon as the sun went down, we had to get out of there quick. I mean, quick.
Quindi è stato di pomeriggio perché appena cominciato a scendere il sole, se ne sono dovute andare, ma velocemente, ma veramente velocemente.
It's about gangs, you know. There's a lot of gangs in the ghetto, and when the sun goes down, then the gangs start to get active, and everybody has walkie-talkies, you know. Certain people have walkie-talkies, and they got information that some of the gangs were heading towards where we were playing with the intention of stealing things. So we had to get out of there quick, but yeah.
Quindi not exactly the reggae pop stars, not exactly the reggae pop star kind of life.
No.
Allora, man mano che il pomeriggio avanzava, arrivava la sera, praticamente a Kibera ci sono persone con i walkie-talkie che vanno in giro per il ghetto e si informano di quando le varie gang stanno uscendo, chi sta arrivando, chi non sta arrivando, e le gang sono attive di sera. Quindi man mano che arrivava il tramonto, questi ricevono messaggi che stavano arrivando diverse gang verso proprio di loro per rubare il loro equipment, quindi il sound, i piatti, i mixer, tutte quante queste cose. Quindi man mano che queste gang si avvicinavano, Kibera è grande, è molto molto vasto, praticamente loro si affrettavano a smontare tutto per scappare via prima che arrivassero i cattivoni praticamente.
No more will we go. No more will we go. No more will we go. You got to find your home. Been so long, you have been taken away, far, far out of bounds. How did you get here?
We don't know.
You were taken in captivity, taken beyond your will still. Some were scattered to the east, enough of them left in the west. Babylon take enough of them to the north, and the rest of them to the south. So you see, we were all scattered all about. Who's gonna stand and plead the cause of the innocent ones that have been battered and abused, downtrodden by the system, who only want to convict them for the things in which they didn't do, only to lock them away, far away, taken beyond your will. And I know I and my brothers got killed, and it happened so far beyond the Babylon Hill. And for what they did unto I and my dragon, I threw them down. Taken beyond your will. No more will you go. No more will you go. No more will you go. You got to find your home. No more will you go. No more will you go. Been so long, taken away. Babylon take no for them to the north. The rest of them him left in the south.
So you see,
so you see,
so you see,
so you see, so you see.
That must have been quite an experience, eh?
Yeah.
But the energy, Russ, I and I was there together when we link up first the Haile Selassie Foundation and the Rastafari Kibera community, standing there for over 30 years in order to protect the youth and inspire the youth and take them off the street, take them off the violence. And I remember that as one of the most significant days of, I could say, my life as well. It was a source of joy and a spring of love and strength. And I mean, the love that I felt was so undiluted and so pure from the brethren them who hosted us.
Yeah, man.
Tens of them, Bingy and Food. What's your testimony about it?
It's just that they fully appreciate you being there. You know, that's what I experience in Soweto. That's what I experience in the Cape Flats. Everywhere I go in these ghetto places to play, that people have so much respect. They're not challenging the color of my skin. They're looking at my heart and saying, yeah, this guy is a Rastaman. He come from far and he come to this place of dreadness, to share his experience and to share his music. So the general feeling is people just have full respect for you. You know, yeah, you judge a man by his words, not by his looks. So that's how it's been. You know, like I say, in Soweto and places like that, Soweto is an incredible place. It's different to Kibera, but it's a sprawling. It's actually 13 ghettos all joining together. But you know what's so beautiful about Soweto? It's an example to everybody else what you can actually do with the space you've got. You don't have funding, you don't have nothing, but still you have spirit from within that build a community. And Soweto is one of the strongest communities in the world, I can tell you. It's such a beautiful place to be there. Yeah, man. And then you see that apartheid is finished. You come out of Soweto and you see that apartheid is still happening in South Africa. You know, there's still no equality in South Africa, trust me.
And Rafa, true, man.
Yes, Rafa, your take on this? Anything you want to share?
Yeah, so I haven't been to Kenya, but I can testify that in South Africa, apartheid is unfortunately alive and well, you know? Yeah, man, it is.
Yeah, man, because it's, you know, inevitably what it is at the end of the day, it's to do with money. You know, you can make political decisions about things and you can say, okay, white people is not ruling this country no more. But they're the ones that have the money in South Africa. So first you have to get rid of that money before you have a level playing field. You understand? There's areas in Johannesburg, you know, outside of Soweto, Johannesburg, that's pure. It's just like back in the day. It's these Dutch people, these Boers, were still running things. And it, for me, it was incredible. How can that be? You know, we fight. I remember as a kid, right, when I was 16, I used to go to London to protest at the South African embassy against apartheid, right? We used to fight it. We used to fight it. And then you go back then after so many years and you expect to see this place that it's changed. But it hasn't changed.
You understand, people are still, you know, the whole racial thing that came during apartheid is still existing in South Africa. You have three different types of people. You have white, black, and you have colored people. And until, as His Majesty says, until we stop that thinking, judging people on the color of the skin or the color of the eyes, everywhere will be war. And that's why in South Africa there's war still to this day.
Even when we went to the prison where Mandela was kept, you know, we saw the stories on the walls. Terrible, man, terrible. And then you go outside of that prison and we made the trot from Cape Town to many towns along the coast to end up in Joburg, Johannesburg, just to witness the same thing, you know? Yeah, man, it's crazy. When you go to the uptown place, everything nice and calm. When you go to a place like Durban, you know, gunshot, things like that, man. Still going on, man. Still going on. And even they have a thing called load sharing. They have a problem with the grid, the electricity. So when there's problems there, they have a thing called load sharing. They say like, okay, uptown and ghetto, they're gonna share the load. But they don't do that in reality. You know, the uptown people, they get all the benefits of it, and the ghetto people, if they don't have a generator, it's just in the dark. So it's hectic, wow. It's hectic.
Wow, what a thing. So I'm gonna translate before passing to Angus for a next question of his. Ho chiesto a Brother Neil di raccontarci la sua esperienza con Kenya, Kibera. La prima volta che abbiamo incontrato la comunità Rastafari in Kibera, eravamo insieme e siamo andati lì per un pomeriggio e l'accoglienza è stata veramente unica. Lo ricordo come uno dei giorni più carichi anche proprio della mia vita, perché l'amore che arrivava da questa comunità di decine e decine di fratelli, sorelle, bambini, bambine che erano lì per accoglierci e per cantare Naya Bingi, ci hanno accolto con un Naya Bingi, poi hanno cucinato, c'era da bere, da mangiare, era una festa bellissima, dove l'amore era proprio puro, proprio era senza filtri, nessuno guardava il colore della pelle, da dove venivamo, venivano semplicemente dei rasta che erano lì per portare un messaggio. E quindi da lì è nato poi il progetto di suonare nel ghetto, e da lì poi sono nate altre storie, altre vicende. Poi sono andato in Sudafrica, dove la situazione è diversa rispetto al Kenya sicuramente, ma si vede che appena esci da, per esempio, da Soweto, si respira ancora l'atmosfera di apartheid che c'era una volta così presente, mentre invece in luoghi come Soweto, che è un agglomerato di 13 ghetti diversi, è come se non ci fosse apartheid, lì dove c'è l'unità, c'è l'unione, mentre invece quando esci poi vai in altri luoghi c'è l'afflizione, c'è la divisione, quella vera, quella reale. Rafa Pico ci raccontava di quando sono andati anche nel carcere di Mandela, nella prigione, le storie che hanno letto sul muro erano agghiaccianti. Poi se vai uptown, se vai nella città bene, sembra che tutto quanto è a posto, come se nulla di tutto ciò fosse mai esistito, ma se poi ti sposti pochi chilometri più in là, invece vedi che ci sono ancora dei luoghi che sono addirittura ancora controllati proprio dalle vecchie generazioni olandesi, che sono ancora lì a fare un po' da padroni. E Neil andava a Londra quando era adolescente a protestare contro l'apartheid in Sudafrica davanti all'ambasciata, e poi si è ritrovato appunto anni e anni dopo proprio in Sudafrica a toccare con mano questa stratificazione sociale.
Zion, he come from Zion, even down here in Babylon, enduring the strife and tribulation. I and I no check for vanity, I and I deal with humanity, and during this trial and tribulation. It shall guide us and protection to lead the shooting out of Babylon to the promised land, Mount Zion. Mount Zion, Mount Zion. Cause I and I no check for vanity, and I deal with humanity.
Enduring the strife and tribulation, Jah guidance and protection
to lead the children out of Babylon to the promised land, Mount Zion, Mount Zion, Mount Zion. Zion High is the place for I and I to dwell.
Fire, 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 I go burn Babylon, but this is a living hell.
So God tell you, baby, I'm so clear to hit to the promised land. Far, far away, far, far away, far, far away, far, far away. I and I are Rasta children. I and I are Rasta children. We come from Zion. We come from Zion. Rastafari coming from Mount Zion. Holy Mount Zion. I and I arrest that children.
I and I arrest that children.
We come from Zion.
Brother Angus Taylor.
One more question from me. Neil, what you said, just a little aside about the situation, the economic situation driving inequality, made me think of African Simba tune Poverty, but that aside, I've got one more question for you. We were reasoning yesterday about how adverse weather has led to music events being cancelled. I know that's affected you in some ways. On your many, many travels, do you think the weather is changing? And what do you think can be done about it?
I think the weather is definitely changing. You know, even in Holland this year, all we've had the first 2 months of the summer has been above 30 degrees. Now things is cooking, man. Things is cooking, and it's a manifestation of what's happening in the world. You know, some people call it the greenhouse effect, some people call it this, call it that. I see it as a kind of judgment on people, you know. It's a wake-up call for people to realize what you're doing, you know. Realizing all the things that we as human beings do that destroys the climate and destroys the world. We have to learn to maintain this world, you know. It's where we live, it's a place where we live, so it's so important. But yeah, it's shifting. The climate is shifting.
Angus Taylor ha chiesto, in relazione a recenti festival che sono stati annullati o posticipati a causa del caldo intenso in Europa, ha chiesto a Neil cosa pensasse lui del, al cambiamento climatico, se lo riconoscesse o se lo negasse. E lì ha detto chiaramente il clima sì, sta cambiando. L'estate è stata molto molto calda in Olanda, in maniera totalmente insolita, e il caldo aumenta, e questo è un po' una sorta di giudizio anche proprio, un giudizio con la G maiuscola, su ciò che sta, ciò che la comunità mondiale, ciò che l'umanità sta facendo. È giudizio nel senso di una chiamata a svegliarsi, è una wake up call, chiamata a svegliarsi per dire ehi, guarda che sta succedendo, guarda cosa stai facendo, guarda che le tue azioni hanno una conseguenza, mentre invece noi dovremmo prodigarci per mantenere, preservare, custodire questo pianeta così come ci è stato affidato.
So, I just wanted to add to it, you know, that things are being cancelled, like the big one that get cancelled is Dotcom. And I think that brings about a different reasoning, you know. Has the scene outgrown itself? Was it ever supposed to be something for mass amounts of people to go to? It's this thing again, the stone that the builder refused shall be the head cornerstone. Many are called, few are chosen. Yeah, so we have to be careful where we're going to.
What? Try again,
Kim? Yeah. I'm just saying we have to be careful of where we're going to. You know, I think it's like human nature, right? We have this beautiful scene, sound system scene. We go through the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. We keep it going, you know, Jashaka keep it going all through the bad years. We have to maintain that principle. That's my feeling about things. We have to maintain those principles. It's so important to the preservation of this music, right? Otherwise, this special music that we all nurtured and we all love and in a way keep for ourselves, it has to remain like that, you know? I don't like to see 20,000 people at a festival and a so-called sound system standing on a high stage. One, two, three, four, bah, bah, bah. It's like it reminds me of a techno party or something. This is not what I grew up. I didn't grow up in this. You know, I grew up in clubs in the north of England where people stand in a corner and they do this skank and they start to twist their leg and twist up their body and they're totally into the music. It's not about people saying, are you ready? One, two, three, four. No, if we adhere to those principles, and I think the item agreed, Rafa, the scene is going to finish very quickly. It's going to blow up. So I say it one more time. Many are called and few are chosen. As a sound man, it's a very skillful job to have, to be a sound man. It doesn't happen overnight. You can't just go to the record shop and buy some records. Go to the audio shop and buy a sound system. It really is not about that. That's people play records and people do sound system. There's a big distinction.
Give thanks. So, Brother Neil, to get even more specific, so which are the elements that are harming the sound system scene right now? We this is a place where we can let these things out, you know?
Yeah, but still, you know, I get put on a spot then. Which is, you know, you're not supposed to talk about other things. You're not supposed to tell the truth. You know? That's one of the things with social media. If you start to talk the truth on social media gonna kill you. You get me? And that's the injustice of it. And that makes a lot of us stop talking about issues that we would like to talk about.
So we can take it the other way around. We can say which are the elements that keep the sound system culture healthy, strong, and alive.
I think knowing the reason why we do it is one of the most important things. You know, if your reason for doing sound system is to see people jumping up and down,
That's not sound system. If you want to see people in a meditation and taking something, some spiritual food with them after the sound system, that is what we're talking about. We're talking about this tradition that Shaka set for us. Yeah, Jashaka set us this tradition. And it's very important that we keep that tradition going, because that was the roots of our music. What people, it seemed like since Shaka gone to the next level, that some kind of door opened and it let in everybody. Everybody is a DJ. Everybody is a sound system. Everybody is this and that. But it's not adhering to the standards that Jashaka set us.
Yeah, thanks. So is love before records, passion before dub plates?
Of course I am. Because that is what makes you play certain dub plates, is if you have that love within you and you have that understanding within you that you want to teach and you want to help people, then the dub plates will come, you know? It's like, it really frustrates me at the moment. You too, probably, Angus. You can go on the internet and you can buy dub plates. What the F is that? What is that? We didn't grow up in that. Seriously. If a man wants to give you a dub plate, right? I play some dub plates, but I never paid money for those dub plates. It's a credit from the one who makes the dub plate to say, listen, King, I want you to play this tune because you're worthy to play this tune. That's what a real special is, a little dub plate is. You know, people who are surfing on the internet paying £50, £100, €200 for dub plates, they're absolutely crazy because you're not achieving anything by doing that. It would be better to go back and buy repress records and start to learn about the foundation of this music and not just want to take the cream from the top of it.
Give thanks. Let me give a brief translation, and then I got something else I would like to ask the item. Is Brother Neil ci sta dicendo che ci sono alcune cose che fanno bene alla sound system culture e che la tengono in salute. E sicuramente è l'amore, la passione, il desiderio di voler ispirare le altre persone. Prima ancora di avere tanti dischi, è l'amore prima dei doublet, è la passione prima di tutta quanta la vita da sound. Questi sono i principi che loro hanno imparato da sound system come Jashaka, che è stato proprio la loro fonte di ispirazione. Ed è questo che noi dobbiamo cercare di preservare. Piuttosto che i numeri, i grandi numeri agli eventi, dobbiamo avere quell'essenza, dobbiamo avere quell'amore, quella passione.
valuable treasure, the human tool, and you disrespect your maker also, and so you bring a judgment upon your own soul, and we longing to go back home. Gracious from Africa, bloody city be, when you did not earn your greatness fairly. You thief all your sign and symbols from Egypt, Akemet, Abyssinia, India or Tibet. Still we can't forget, racist from Africa.
Talking about Shaka now, I have a question for you, Brother Neil. So, was Shaka for the Aiden a musical inspiration, or was also a spiritual, a Rastafari inspiration? Was His Imperial Majesty also made more present and accessible to you through the person of Jesse Shaka, or was it only a musical relationship? Great relationship, deep relationship, but only on a musical level. And even if that was the case, there is nothing bad about it. But I want to know from the item is if Shaka presence was for King Shiloh also a channel, a vehicle of the divine energy of majesty and the Rastafari lility.
Surely, because that's what Shaka was about. You know, going to his dances, and I used to travel a long way when I was about 17, 18. I used to come out the north of England, from Bradford, from Leeds, hitchhike on the motorway on the M1 to go and see Shaka play in London, right? And it was for me a spiritual experience. From start to finish, it was just something. It was like this pull, you know, I had to go there. I had to get some food, some spiritual food. At the time, I was just starting to sight Rastafari. And so to see a man standing up there with a picture of His Imperial Majesty on the wall, raising his name in every tune he played, you know, it just filled me up with everything that I needed.
Wonderful. Give thanks. Ho chiesto a Neil se Jesse Shaka per loro fosse soltanto un grande maestro musicale, una fonte di ispirazione stilistica, tecnica nella musica, o fosse anche proprio un canale per essere più vicino ai Imperial Majesty. Era Shaka per loro soltanto un mentore musicale o anche proprio spirituale? E lui mi ha detto che decisamente anche spirituale. Lui Neil viaggiava dal nord dell'Inghilterra, faceva l'autostop sull'autostrada per andare giù a Londra a vedere le session di Shaka, e ogni session era un ricaricarsi a livello energetico, spirituale, era proprio cibo da mettere nello spirito e nella mente. E vedere questa persona che cantava sotto la foto di Sua Maestà, e tutto ciò che diceva o che cantava era in onore di Sua Maestà, e quindi questa è stata una grandissima fonte di ispirazione per King Shiloh. Rafa Pico, who were your greatest inspiration in terms of not only music but spiritual music? Who were which were the artists that have inspired you and take you on the next level spiritually in your music, if you had any?
Yes. So first and foremost, Bob Marley.
Yes.
Second one, and it's not in a particular order. Second one is the rebellious one called Peter Tosh. Yeah, he really brought out that militant spirit. You see it? Bob Marley brought more of that spiritual side out of me. Yeah. And the one that, for me, continued that spiritual awakening in me musically was the one called Van Benjamin of Midnight, Aki Becker. Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Ho chiesto a Rafa Pico quali fossero i suoi artisti che lo hanno ispirato di più a livello spirituale, non soltanto musicale. Prima di tutto c'era Bob Marley che lo ha risvegliato spiritualmente, ma poi c'è Peter Tosh che ha risvegliato in lui l'aspetto più ribelle, se vogliamo, e poi la presenza di Von Benjamin, The Midnight, Aki Bika, che poi diciamo ha ricoperto questo terzo posto, anche se non sono in ordine, non è un podio, ma è questa triade. Give thanks for that one. Yes.
Listen. I would like to say something else,
please,
about Jashaka. So I was unfortunate that I had never experienced a session in real time with Jashaka, so I can only hear the stories, and wonderful stories they are. I do have a link though, which is my first official sound system tune, which is called Lead the Way, was supported and endorsed by the one called Jashaka. So I give thanks for that. And right away I felt the power, you know, of his significance in this genre. So I had to add that.
So how did that happen? Did he hear the tune? Did you send him the tune? Or how was the dynamics?
So the people who were involved in the production, when we were in test press phase, the test press was in the UK, and one of the musicians was in a Shaka session, and he showed it to him, and he said, yeah, I'm gonna play that one. Yes, sir. And he played it, he blessed it, you know, and videos went all over, and then the calls came from all over. See? So yeah, I'm gonna give thanks.
Super. Quindi Rafa Pico ci racconta che anche se lui non ha mai partecipato in presenza ad una session di Shaka, ma ha avuto l'onore di avere il suo primo sound system tune, la sua prima canzone sound system, Lead the Way, che è stata, diciamo, non soltanto blessata, benedetta, ma apprezzata e anche suonata dal grande unico Jazz Shaka, che l'ha sentita, quindi gli hanno proposta e lui ha deciso appunto di suonarla in una session. Poi da lì hanno incominciato ad arrivare i messaggi, i video, le chiamate, e quindi questa è la storia di Rafa Pico con Josh Shaka. So we get into a close here now, but before sealing up, I would like to ask Brother Neil, Haile Selassie is the chapel. The lyrics say, take your troubles to Selassie. Do you think these inspirational lyrics are relevant so far in what you do with the people? In other words, do you think that your work as Rastafari ambassador and the inspiration of the Rastafari lyrics are contributing to healing the world, or at least the people that you come in contact with?
I hope so. I hope so, because that's why we do it, you know. We realized long time ago that music is a healing, you know, not just reggae music, but especially reggae music, but music is a healing. Human beings need music in their lives, you know, it uplifts us. It makes things easier in life when you got music, right? Everybody, we all listen to music all the time to get us through, and to solve problems, get us through life. So yeah, it's important. Music is so important in everybody's lives, especially roots music, because it teaches you many things. You know, you can find so many lessons within the music.
You know where you're coming from. You know where you're going to. It gives you a purpose in life. You know, I remember a time in my life when I had no purpose. But just show me, teach me about purpose. That we're all born for a reason. It's not just by accident that we're here on earth. I keep saying it. It's not by accident. We all have a purpose. And we all have a mission to fulfill. You know? So, yeah, fulfill your mission, everybody.
Yes. So is Rastafari music still playing that part in your life? Are you still getting healing from it?
Yeah, of
even
course.
Even after 40 years?
Of course. And I see the healing of the people too. You know, so it's like a double healing. You give something out, it comes back to you. You give it out, it comes back to you. You know, in the form of love. You just need more love in life. People need to know more about love. It's not embarrassing to love one another. Something noble and something very, very important. We're all here together once again. We all live together. So let's live in peace, harmony, and love, yeah?
Give thanks. Ho chiesto a Brother Neil, oggi che celebriamo Haile Selassie I, c'è una famosissima canzone, Selassie is the Chapel, e c'è un verso che dice, take your troubles to Selassie, porta I tuoi problemi ad Haile Selassie. Allora io ho chiesto, ma secondo te il lavoro che tu fai con il sound system, con questa ispirazione rasta, secondo te ha la capacità di curare le persone, il mondo, il pubblico con cui tu entri in contatto? E lui dice, bah, spero di sì, ma credo proprio di sì, perché lo facciamo proprio per questo healing, e la musica è un healing, è una guarigione. In particolar modo la reggae music, per I valori che promuove, per I principi che promuove e che diffonde. E quindi poi ho chiesto, ma ancora adesso, dopo 40 anni che tu sei così attivo nella reggae music, nella promozione, proprio in prima linea, continua ad avere questo effetto terapeutico su di te la reggae music? E gli ho detto, assolutamente sì. Mi ha guarito quando ero perso, quando ero un ragazzino che non sapeva dove andare, ma continuo ancora a guarirmi adesso, dopo tutti quanti questi anni, perché siamo tutti quanti qua su questo pianeta Terra per condividere amore. Non dovremmo vergognarci dell'amore, perché amarci a vicenda è una cosa bella, non è una cosa che ci dovrebbe imbarazzare, e dovremmo imparare come vivere in pace e in armonia l'uno con l'altro. Rafa Pico, I would like to put the same question to the eye. So this Rastafari music, is it healing the world? Is it healing the festivals? Is it healing the society? What do you think?
It is. And I would like to express this one musically, see?
Please, go to one. Go to one. Give thanks.
Haile Selassie, I restore the damage within I and I, yes. Haile Selassie, I awoke the warrior spirit inside, yes. Hey, King Selassie, I is a redeemer for I and I. Yes, I.
Wow. Baba Boom Festival. Ci rendiamo conto di che sta succedendo. Yes, higher levels. Give a thanks. Well, I think that we are ready to progress with the day after this beautiful blessing that you both gave to the public. Any final things, any final meditation you want to share?
Yeah, come to the beach yard at 6 o'clock. We're gonna be playing at the beach yard at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, so some news here. Venite alle 6 in beach yard, perché c'è la sorpresona di Brother Neil King Shadow che farà un'apparizione in beach yard alle 6, quindi mi raccomando. Rafa Pico, any final words to the public?
Live in love, live in peace, respect and
vivete in amore, vivete nella pace, respect and love. So give thanks, family, Rastafari, blessings. Yes, yes, I, blessed love. Thanks for your presence, thanks for the love, thanks for the wisdom.
Looking now, no more. and we know no end. No. Oh, yeah, yeah. Upon the earth, the effects of his righteousness. The civic order of correspondence and implementer. Within the world of firmness and eloquence. To bring effects of favorable providence. The provisions of convictions and conscience. Of deliverance and diligence. Oh, yeah. Heal the king up. Heal the king up. Heal the king now. Now. His dominion will know no end. Oh, yeah. When things didn't work, it was because of disobedience. Oh, yeah. Dishonesty or simple intemperance. Then we couldn't maintain our advanced ambience. Oh, yeah. In a how to shape events to reflect our true sentiment, to deliver our true intent, yeah. Half of some insightful improvement comment, looking through longevity lens, oh, yeah, yes, hear the king, oh, yeah. More of the king vision to implement. Good for all nations of competence. Hear the Selassie I, the first, the lion prevail again. Empress men and I, the Trinity balanced. Hear the king up. Hear the king up. Hear the king now. Now. His dominion will know no end. Upon the earth, the effects of his righteousness. The civic order of correspondence and implement. Within the world, with firmness and eloquence. To bring effects of favorable prominence. The provisions of convictions and conscience. Of deliverance and diligence. Heal the king up. King of kings up. Jeremiah, Kidemawe, Haile Selassie. Heal the king up. Heal the king up. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.